We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th canto, 3rd chapter, verses 1 to 11. Verse 1. Shri Paravayana Rubacha, Nivangiva Sita Bhutya Samaraya Manohini, Jajapa Paramam Japyam, Prakacharman Yanushishitam. Shri Shukadeva Goswami continued, "Thereafter, the king of the elephants, Gajendra, fixed his mind in his heart with perfect intelligence, and chanted a mantra which he had learned in his previous birth as Indradumna, and which he remembered by the grace of Krishna. Mukham makaradivacharam bandhanam maradhiram yakipandhanam bandhe shirunichayam. Om jnana timirandasya jnananjana shavakaya chakshanitam jnana tasmai shirugaraheya. What do you remember from this morning's class? Wasn't so long ago. Yes, Dhammakrishna.
Gajendra, he was in difficulty and actually nobody would help him, so he became thoughtful.
Gajendra is in difficulty, nobody could help him, he became thoughtful.
He actually took shelter of the Supreme Personality.
And took shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Anything else? Yes.
In the place where he was residing,
beautiful place he was residing.
And all animals were respectful to him.
All the animals were respectful to him, yes?
He was
so powerful, elephant.
In this material world, every conditioned soul is in the clutch of this, like this
crocodile. Don't give up the fight, but you can find a comfortable position to fight from. If you can't maintain the sannyas vows, then you can become grihastha. And this was Prabhupada's application of this principle. Anything else you remember from this class? Okay, so we'll go on to these verses. And to begin with, I'll sing a verse from Prahlad Maharaj, 7th canto, 9th chapter, verse 9. This verse mentions Gajendra. Prahlad is mentioning Gajendra. Manye tana pichana rupatapa shutau jas teja patava palapau rushabhuti yoga nara tana yahi bhavanti parasya punsa Pakya Tutosha Bhagavan Gajayutta Paya. Prahlad Maharaj said, "One may possess wealth, an aristocratic family, beauty, austerity, education, sensory expertise, luster, influence, physical strength, diligence, intelligence, and mystic yogic power. But I think that even by all these qualifications, one cannot satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. However, one can satisfy the Lord simply by devotional service. Gajendra did this, and thus the Lord was satisfied with him." So Gajendra didn't have wealth or aristocratic, he didn't have aristocratic family. Gajendra was not so beautiful. He didn't have austerity. He didn't have education. Sensory expertise, maybe. Luster, influence he had, physical strength he had. Diligence, no. Intelligence, no. Mystic yogic power, no. But he satisfied the Lord. And that's what we have to do. We may not have all these wonderful qualifications, but we can satisfy Krishna like Gajendra did. And this is how is Gajendra going to satisfy the Lord, is by these prayers. So in one lecture in Mayapur on this, on the verse of Prahlad Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada explained about Gajendra, actually, something very interesting, that Prahlad Maharaj was thinking, first of all, that he's born in a demoniac family, Ugra Jata. Ugra means very horrible family. But still, if I decide to serve Krishna, then Krishna will accept me, following in the footsteps of Gajendra. So there was a struggle with the crocodile. Although he was so powerful, he couldn't win. He was helpless. So he started chanting these prayers and he was saved. And Prabhupada said not only was Gajendra saved, but the crocodile was saved. You know why the crocodile was saved?
Because it was killed by...
No. Prabhupada, yeah, Adiprush, you know.
He took shelter
of the feet of a devotee, Gajendra. The Prabhupada said, yes, he did Vaishnava Seva. So he was saved because he caught the lotus feet of the elephant, Prabhupada said. He caught the elephant's leg, so he was also saved. He got the dust of the lotus feet of the Vaishnava. But we should not imitate Gajendra and bite your spiritual master or give him trouble. So Prabhupada said, Chariya Vaishnava Seva. Indirectly he gave service to the Vaishnava. I don't know what service he gave, but Prabhupada says that indirectly he gave service. I guess like Putana. Putana gave service indirectly. The Prabhupada says, bhakti is such a nice thing. Easily you can get the favor of the Lord. Somehow we have to just please a pure devotee of the Lord. Get shelter of the pure devotee of the Lord. And we can please Krishna in that way. So then, verse 1. Gajendra is going to chant mantras he learned in his previous life as King Indradumna. And he's remembering by the grace of Krishna, although he's taken birth as an elephant. We'll go to paragraph 2 of the purport. It is imperative, therefore, all devotees in Krishna consciousness practice chanting some mantra. Certainly one should chant Hare Krishna mantra, which is Maha mantra, or a great mantra. Also, one should practice chanting Chintamani Prakata Sadmasu or Nishinga Stotra. To Nishinga Parato Nishinga Yato Yato Yanta To Nishinga. Every devotee should practice in order to chant some mantra perfectly. So even though he may be imperfect in spiritual consciousness in this life, in his next life, he will not forget Krishna consciousness, even if he becomes an animal. So we may become an animal in our next life. It's possible if we make some mistake in this life, or if we offend a devotee, like Indradumna. He didn't even offend a devotee. He just didn't receive the devotee, and he got cursed. So it may happen. But if we practice chanting in this life, then we won't forget in our next life, even if we become an animal. Of course, a devotee should try to perfect his Krishna consciousness in this life. For simply by understanding Krishna and his instructions, after giving up this body, one can return home, back to Godhead. What Gita verse is Prabhupada paraphrasing here in this sentence? Jamashmi? Janma karma chamedivyam evam yo viti tatvataha. Chakta deham punarjama naiti mamiti sorjana. That you can, if you understand my birth and activities, then you will, after leaving this body, you will come to me. So Prabhupada is giving us here in this purport a concession. We may not even think, we may not be perfect at the end of our life. But even in next life, we'll remember, if we practice in this life, we'll remember the mantras we chanted in this life. Prabhupada says, even if there is some fall down, practice of Krishna consciousness never goes in vain. For example, Ajamila, in his boyhood, practiced chanting the holy name of Narayan under the direction of his father. But later in his youth, he fell down and became a drunkard, woman hunter, rogue, and thief. Nonetheless, because of chanting the name of Narayan for the purpose of calling his son, whom he had named Narayan, he became advanced, even though he was involved in sinful activities. Therefore, we should not forget the chanting of Hare Krishna mantra under any circumstances. It will help us in the greatest danger, as we find in the life of Gajendra. So how did Ajamila become advanced? What was the nature of his chanting that made him advanced? Namabhas. Namabhas chanting. It was not offensive chanting, it was clearing. So go to the prayers of Gajendra, verse 2. Shri Gajendra Vacha, Om Namo Bhagavate Tasmaya Taita Shirakam Purushaya Bijaya Parishaya Pitimhi. King of the elephants, Gajendra said, I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Person, Vasudeva. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Because of him, this material body acts due to the presence of spirit, and he is therefore the root cause of everyone. He is worshipable for such exalted persons as Brahma and Shiva, and he has entered the heart of every living being. Let me meditate upon him. So Abhidhimahi, this is a mantra, Gayatri mantra, Dhimahi, Abhidhimahi. So he learned this in his previous life, and now we are also going to hear these mantras. Nama. Na means not, and ma means me. I got this somewhere. I don't know where I got this from. Anyway, some reference. The meaning of na ma means not me. Not me, you. I offer obeisances to you. You are the center, not me. Nama. Nama. So nama means surrender, become submissive. Namanta eva. So his first prayer, he's Om Namo Bhagavate Tasmai. I meditate, I surrender to you. Prabhupada says in the purport in this verse, the words eta chidatmakam are very important. Material body certainly consists only of material elements, but when one awakens to Krishna conscious understanding, the body is no longer material, but spiritual. So what does this mean, Adipurush, eta chidatmakam? Yata eta chidatmakam.
Because of whom this is imbued with consciousness.
Okay, because of whom this body is imbued with consciousness. So it's because of the Lord. Om Namo Bhagavate Tasmai. Because of him, this body is imbued with consciousness. Good. Material body is meant for sense enjoyment, whereas a spiritual body engages in transcendental loving service of the Lord. Therefore, a devotee who engages in service of the Lord, who constantly thinks of him, should never be considered to have a material body. It is therefore enjoined, Gurushu Naramati. One should stop thinking of the spiritual master as an ordinary human being with a material body. Arche Vishnu Shiladi. Everyone knows the deity in the temple is made of stone, but to think that the deity is merely stone is an offense. Similarly, to think the body of the spiritual master consists of material ingredients is offensive. Atheists think the devotees foolishly worship a stone statue as God and an ordinary man as guru. The fact is, however, that by the grace of Krishna's omnipotence, the so-called stone statue of the deity is directly the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the body of a spiritual master is directly spiritual. So why do we accept the deity as Krishna? Prabhupada is saying, yes? Mailbox? Okay.
You drop your letter.
Okay, it's like the mailbox. Go to the temple and put your letters in to the deity. Yes. Dhamma Krishna?
It's installed.
We called Krishna to come, so therefore Krishna is here. Yes? Okay, it's his energy, Adipurush.
It's one of his five kinds of avatars.
Okay, it's one of his five kinds of avatars. What are the five kinds of avatars? The deity is one of the five kinds of avatars.
Then his Swarupa.
Swarupa.
And then there is his Vilasa, his pastime
form. Vilasa, his pastime form.
And there is his form by which he creates this universe.
The form by which he creates, the creating Vishnu. Super soul and the deity. And what about the holy name? It's a special merciful avatar. Okay.
It's like the deity.
Yes. Kali avatar. Mantamurti Chamurtikam. Narada Muni says, Mantra Murti. Okay, so we atheists think, oh, why are you worshipping a stone? But we know this is Krishna. A pure devotee who is engaged in unalloyed devotional service should be understood to be situated on the transcendental platform. Sagunan samati jaitanandama puriyakapte. Let us therefore offer our obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by whose mercy so-called material things also become spiritual when they are engaged in spiritual activity. So when Srila Prabhupada, one time he arrived at the New York airport and the reporters were there to greet him, and all the devotees, hundreds of devotees, were on the ground offering obeisances as soon as they all hit the ground, as soon as they saw Srila Prabhupada, and the reporters are watching. And then after they got up, what is the first thing Prabhupada says? Spiritual master must be worshipped as God. And then silence, big silence. What are these reporters thinking of Prabhupada? And then Prabhupada says, but if the spiritual master thinks he's God, he's dog. And so there he qualified his statement there. Yes, worshipped as God. So this is Srila Prabhupada's explanation of this verse, that we accept the Lord and also the Lord's devotees on the same spiritual level. When in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna blew his conch shell and so did Arjuna, and they were both transcendental. They were both on the same level. So anybody in touch with Krishna, he's also transcendental. This is the lesson. Bhurijan gives us a lesson on this verse. He says that the soul gives life to the body, but the super soul gives life to the soul. I thought that was a nice comment. The soul gives life to the body. So because of consciousness, then the body can move. But the super soul gives life to the soul. So because of our relationship with Krishna, then we can do anything. We can live. We can live in this world. Only because of him. So in the 10th canto later on, Prabhupada gives an argument. One may argue, we see a person who's spiritually engaged 24 hours a day, but still he's suffering from a disease. How is that possible if he's supposed to have a spiritual body and transcendental and all that? How come he's suffering from disease? What do you say to that? Adipurush?
For a spiritual master?
Yeah, spiritual master. Okay, it may be that Krishna is giving him the disease for some reason or other, some
or
relationship.
He could be taking experiencing a token reaction for the karma of his disciples.
Or he may be experiencing a token reaction for karma of his disciples. Okay, yes, this is true, yes.
I want to say this and also some special mercy of Krishna.
Special mercy of Krishna.
Because maybe Krishna has some special plan of him to do something.
Therefore he's making him sick. Okay. Yes.
He's got wounds. I mean, he's got difficulty, but he's not affected.
Yes, okay, he's not affected by it. And also, the disease may be a symptom of separation from Krishna, nectar of devotion.
Yeah.
It could be a symptom of separation. What, Dhamma Krishna?
Actually, body is engaged in Krishna consciousness.
In the consciousness. Mm-hmm. Material energy may work on the body, but not on the consciousness. Prashanta?
It's an opportunity for the disciples to serve the spiritual master in a very intimate way.
Oh, yes, okay. It's an opportunity for disciples to serve the spiritual master in an intimate way. When the spiritual master gets sick and he cannot do, seems to, he can't do anything for himself, so the disciples can serve him. These are all nice answers. Yes, he can get more deep realization. So what does Prabhupada say? Actually, he's neither suffering nor diseased. Otherwise, How could he be engaged 24 hours a day in spiritual activities? If he's engaged 24 hours a day, this is 10, 4, 20 purport. 20. If he's not suffering and he's not diseased. The example is given, he quotes Nectar of Instruction. There may be sometimes dirty foam or garbage floating on the Ganga, but this is called Nira Dharma, a function of the water. But one who goes to the Ganga doesn't mind the foam and dirty things floating. With his hand, he pushes away such nasty things, bathes in the Ganga, and gains the result. So one who is situated in spiritual status of life is unaffected by foam and garbage or any superficial dirty things. Confirmed by Rupa Goswami, Ihayasya harudase karmana manasagira nikilasya pyavastha sajiva mukta sochite. Person acting in service of Krishna with body, mind, and words is a liberated person even within the material world. Okay, so verse 2, now we know the Lord is transcendental and the root cause of everyone worshipped by Lord Shiva and Brahma. He's a super soul. What else is the Lord? Yasmanidam yatascedam yenedam yaidam sayam yasmat parasma chaparastam papadye sayam bhuvam. The Supreme Godhead is a supreme platform on which everything rests, the ingredient by which everything has been produced, and the person who has created and is the only cause of this cosmic manifestation. Nonetheless, he is different from the cause and the result. I surrender unto him, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is self-sufficient in everything. So here is an enigmatic verse. It says that he's the only cause of this cosmic manifestation, but he's different from the cause. How is that possible? How can he be the only cause and he's different from the cause? How is he? Well, we know how he's the only cause, because it's by his will, by his desire, he's doing. How is he different from the cause then? That's the question. Yeah.
When there is transformation of the energy, he himself doesn't transform.
Okay. And when there's transformation of energy, he doesn't transform. So that's how he's different.
Yeah, and by the transformation of the energies, the whole cosmos comes about, but he himself is not transformed.
Okay, by transformation of energies, the whole creation comes about, but he is not transformed. Okay, that's one answer. Any other answer? Adi Prush?
Nothing is different.
Okay, here we have another enigma. Nothing is different from Krishna, and Krishna is different from everything.
It's from the last purport in the Gita.
From the last purport in the Gita. Nothing is different
from Krishna.
And he is different from everything.
So he's the cause of Pradhana.
He's the cause of Pradhana.
And then this way he's the cause of everything in this manifestation. Still, he's not Pradhana.
So. Right. He's not Pradhan. Actually, I was hearing an example on a tape by Burridge. I don't know if I can do it. See, like this. You have this paper. So I'm lifting up the pen with the paper, right? So who is lifting the paper? Who is lifting the pen? Me or the paper? It's actually, I am the ultimate cause, but this is the instrumental cause. It's the paper. So, yeah, I heard on a class. Yeah, so what is the instrumental cause and what is the actual cause? You can see. So through the Pradhan, then he creates. So he's the actual cause. Instrumental cause is Pradhan. Okay, yes, Jai Nitai. Oh, wait.
I just want to get this.
Okay, I'll show you again. The instrumental cause is the paper.
Huh?
I would be like Krishna, and then this would be the Pradhan. So through the Pradhan, or even Shiva, you could say through Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva may be the paper, and then the pen is being lifted. The material creation or the material energy is being moved like that. So it's not direct. It's not direct. Because if he touches, I think a purport will come up. When Vishnu touches Maya, he becomes Shiva. He's not Vishnu anymore. So he cannot touch Maya. Vishnu cannot touch Maya. my artist, we were doing pictures of Second Canto, and she had a picture, there was a verse where it said, the Lord accepts the modes, goodness, passion, and ignorance, to create this world. Yes. Something by the help of the external, but by the external, through the external energy, the Lord accepts. So she wanted to make a picture of Krishna, and then Maya is giving him help. And I said, no, you can't do that. As soon as Maya touches, he's Shiva. You can't show Vishnu like that. So we have our discussions when we make pictures. And I said, no, you cannot show. So he doesn't touch. Vishnu never touches Maya. Through Shiva, he creates Jainitai. Two different causes. He's different from the cause. He's the only cause.
Cosmic manifestation.
Mm-hmm.
And this second cause and result, this cause could refer to the living entity.
He is different from the cause and the result. Oh, not sure. Yeah.
Which happens in the material.
I also had that idea too. That he's just like in Bhagavad Gita, Nadate Kasichit Papam, Nachayeva Sukhitam Viva. I am not the cause of different pious and impious activities. Yeah, in that sense. I also thought of that too. That yes, he's different from the cause and result that we get in this world, because that's due to our own mistakes. Our own desires. We make our causes and effects. So he is different from that. That is also true. Yes. Adi Purush.
He's beyond the causal, the chain of causation.
He's beyond the chain of causation.
He's unconditioned.
He's unconditioned, right.
So he's never entangled.
He's never entangled. He's beyond the chain. There's a chain, actually. From the scientists, yes, they understand Big Bang. They just see the result. But they don't see the cause of the Big Bang. What caused this explosion or whatever? And that is, what caused it actually? If we get technical about it. Yes?
Accumulated karma of the jivas.
Okay. Yes, the accumulated karma pierced through the abdomen of Avadakshari. Also, before that, something happened?
Sarochisa.
The glance, yes. Saikshita Swarochisha, that was the Manu. The glance of the Lord, yes. And time is there. The time and the karma and the living entities are in the glance. So originally what caused the thing was the glance of the Lord who agitated. Before the karma came, that was actually Garbhadakshai Vishnu, where the karma, that's the cause of the birth of Brahma and this universe. And before that, there was another cause, and that was the glance of the Lord, yes.
And this is part of Achintya Beta Tattva.
Certainly. It is part of Achintya Beta Tattva. Okay, we'll see the purport from the quote. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadiradi Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam. Krishna, who is known as Govinda, is the supreme controller. He has an eternal blissful spiritual body. He is the origin of all. He has no other origin, for he is the prime cause of all causes. Lord is a cause for everything, but there is no cause for him. Sarvam kalvidam brahma, matstani sarvabhutani na chaharante svavastitaha. Although he is everything, his personality is different from the cosmic manifestation. So what is different is his personality. If you want to know what's different, his personality is different. Although he's everything, in one sense he's everything. He's all-pervading, but his personality is different. So if you want to know, pin it down, then his personality. And then you can study Nectar of Devotion and find out what is that different personality that Krishna has. So today I was listening, it was the Agashura pastime, and one wonderful aspect of Krishna's personality was being discussed, that the cowherd boys, when they saw Agasura, at first they thought, oh, this is just a statue. And then after getting closer, they thought, well, maybe it could be a demon. But anyway, let's just go in anyway. Because they had the desire for Krishna to save them, to make a lila and have Krishna save them from the mouth of Agasura. But Krishna had a different desire. He didn't want them to go into the mouth. He wanted to protect them. So the devotees had one desire and Krishna had a different desire. So after they went in the mouth and Krishna was perplexed, oh, now what? Now what to do? So sometimes, even though he's God, he sometimes forgets what's happening in his lila. If he knew past, present, and future, how could he get involved, so involved in the lila? So sometimes his lila shakti is so wonderful, it makes him forget. So then he was thinking, and then another point was that the quality of Krishna, that the devotee has a desire, then the devotee's desire defeats Krishna's desire. So the devotees, they wanted to go in the mouth. Krishna didn't want them to go in the mouth. But the devotee's desire prevailed. And so this is going on. He's the personality. He's different from this cosmic manifestation. He's just enjoying with his devotees in the spiritual world. And Bhrija makes this same point also in his comment on this verse, that he's praying, Gajendra is praying to Super Soul, which is a part and part of a part of Krishna, who will soon appear in 10th canto. So Krishna, we see how amazing is Krishna here in all these verses, everyone. Gajendra is glorifying him, Swayambhuvaman is glorifying him. But Krishna just wants to wander around barefoot in the forest playing his flute. That's his happiness. It's not in creating all these huge universes and controlling everybody. It's not his pleasure. His pleasure is to be with his devotees and going barefoot in the forest of Vrindavan. So Bhrijan is saying all the great devotees are amazed by Krishna except the residents of Braj. They're not amazed. Their love overpowers their amazement. So Gajendra, he doesn't know who is God actually, but he's praying anyway. He doesn't exactly know who he's praying to. He's praying to Super Soul, who this person who is expanding his energy. Verse 4. Yasvatmanidam nijamaya yarpitam kachir vipacham kachata tirohitam avittadrik sakshupayantarikshte sahmamula vatumam parat para. Supreme Personality of Godhead, by expanding his own energy, keeps this cosmic manifestation visible and again sometimes renders it invisible. He is both the supreme cause and the supreme result, the observer and the witness in all circumstances. Thus he is transcendental to everything. May that Supreme Personality of Godhead give me protection. So there is a nice analogy to how sometimes this cosmic manifestation is visible and sometimes it's invisible. Does anybody know an analogy that explains this? How we see that sometimes the material world is there and sometimes it's not. Yes. Yeah. Vyakta, what's an analogy? That's a Sanskrit.
Yeah. Analogy,
yeah. Yes?
Spider and net.
Okay, that's one analogy. That he makes the net and then he winds it up back in himself. There's another analogy also.
Thread and cloth.
It was in seventh chapter.
Seventh
canto. Okay, then when the thread is woven into the cloth, then the thread disappears. Yes, Sariprush?
A cloud,
yes. It's also a cloud. Very good. And there's another analogy which I'm thinking of, which you haven't hit on yet. And that's the rainy season. In the rainy season, the rain comes, and sometimes we get all the beautiful green, and sometimes it disappears, according to the season. So sometimes cosmic manifestation appears according to the season and sometimes it disappears. Isn't that interesting? And we think it's so real and tangible, but it's going to disappear very soon. When we die, well, it won't disappear. We'll just have a change of scenery, different body. Verse 5. Kalina panchat tamite shikich nisho loke shipale shir chasarva hitusha Samastarasi Gahanam Gabhiram Yastasya Pare Pi Virajate Vibhu. In due course of time, when all the causative and effective manifestations of the universe, including the planets and their directors and maintainers, are annihilated, there is a situation of dense darkness. Above this darkness, however, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I take shelter of his lotus feet. Okay. Give me a verse where it says that Krishna is above the darkness, or anybody, even Vishnu, or yes? Aham evasam eva agre. Okay. I was there before, during, and after. I will be there after. Hare Purush? Tamasa paramuchate. Yes. Bhagavad Gita, 13th chapter. How does it start? Jyotisham apita jyotis. Tamasa paramuchate. Hridi sarasivishtitam. I'm in everyone's heart. Okay, it's a Bhagavad Gita verse, 13th chapter. Yes, Jalamashtami.
This is how Krishna is above the darkness or dissipates the darkness?
Above. He's above the darkness.
Well, I would say that Krishna Surya
Samaya. Yes, Maya, Krishna Surya Sam, Maya Hoy Andakar. Jaha Krishna, Taha Maya, Nahi Adikar. Wherever there is Krishna, then there is no darkness, there is no Maya. So this is Krishna. Purport, about three lines down. When everything disappears by the influence of his energy, the cosmic situation is one of dense darkness. Supreme Lord, however, is the sunshine, as confirmed in Vedic mantras, aditya varnam tamasaparastat. In our daily experience, when we on earth are in the darkness of night, the sun is always luminous somewhere in the sky. Similarly, Supreme Personality of Godhead, Supreme Sun, always remains luminous, even when the entire cosmic manifestation is annihilated in due course of time. I have a quote here from Swetashvatara Upanishad, which says the same thing. But I don't know where it came from, Prabhupada's book somewhere. Vedaham etam purusham mahantam aditya varnam tamasa parasta tameva virit vati mrityumeti mananya panta vidyate yanaya. I know that Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is transcendental to all material conceptions of darkness. Only he who knows him can transcend the bonds of birth and death. There is no way for liberation other than this knowledge of that Supreme Person. There's another verse in Gita, Aditya Varna Tamasaparas. I think it's exact. Aditya Varnam Tamasaparastat. I think 8th chapter. I think it's an 8th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Okay, verse 6. Nayasya deva rishaya param vidur jantil punakar hatigantum iditum atanatasya kutibhi vicheshtata duratyayana kamana samapatu. An artist on stage being covered by attractive dresses and dancing with different movements is not understood by his audience. Similarly, the activities and features of the supreme artist cannot be understood even by the demigods or great sages, and certainly not by those who are unintelligent like animals. Neither the demigods and sages nor the unintelligent men can understand the features of the Lord, nor can they express in words his actual position. May that Supreme Personality of Godhead give me protection. So he's like an artist. In the purport about four lines down, Prabhupada says, there are many, many yogis trying to find him. Nonetheless, even great yogis, demigods, saints, and sages have been unable to understand the bodily features of that great artist, nor could they understand the meaning of his movements. What then is to be said of ordinary speculators like the so-called philosophers of this material world? For them, he is impossible to understand. Therefore, we must accept the statements given by the Supreme when he kindly incarnates to instruct us. We must simply accept the word of, again, Lord Ramachandra, Lord Krishna, and Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So they're appearing again and again in Prabhupada's purports, and follow in their footsteps. Then it may be possible for us to know the purpose of their incarnations. Janma karma chameri yamevam yavetita kata chaktadeyam pudarjama naitimam eti sojunam. If by the Lord's grace one can understand him, one will immediately be delivered, even within his material body. So we're all waiting for that day when we will be delivered even within our material body. Material body will no longer have any function. Interesting. And whatever activities take place with the body will be activities of Krishna consciousness. In this way, one may give up his body and return home back to Godhead. So I guess if that happens, you don't stay long. in your body. I was thinking, you know, you could stay in the body and still, but no, this way you give up your body. Of course, it may take some time to give up your body. So what are some verses again? How the Lord is the supreme artist and nobody understands him. Quinti's prayers, yes. Maya Javanika Chanam Magyad Hoks Jamavayam. Nalakshise Murhadisha Nato Natya Taro Yata. He's like an artist. Krita Vankila Karmani. 1120.
Those two, Krishna and Balarama, they appear like regular men, but they perform supernatural activities.
Yeah, they may appear like human beings. They're playing like human beings, but they perform supernatural activities. And it's the wonderful thing about Krishna is that he doesn't have to take a huge form like Nrisimhadev. He just stays in a small baby form and he kills the demons. So that's the wonderful thing. Like the other incarnations, they came, Vamanadeva, he stretched his leg to the whole top of the universe, but Krishna didn't have to do that. He just kicked the cart and the cart demon fell and that was it. Or he knocked over the two Arjuna trees and he still stayed in the form of a small baby, just crawling. And so that's the difference between Krishna and all the other incarnations. They take big, huge, gigantic forms to perform their activities. But Krishna, he doesn't. He just stays a little baby, a little child. Jamashmi, you had some? No. Yes?
The beautiful shloka which allows somebody remind Vrindavan everywhere. This was, I don't know the source, Guru Temple was given to Sachinanda Swami.
Yes, that is 10th canto.
Krishna decorated as an artist, as a dancer, with long garland which below of his knees.
By Jayantimala.
With five kinds of forest flowers. He's going with the Balaram to the forest.
Right. And Krishna is entering the forest of Vrindavan with the Vajjayantimala, like an artist on the stage.
All the trees coming down with the fruit.
This is 21st chapter of 10th canto. Yeah, Radha Govinda Maharaj lectured on this verse, in these verses, recently in Vrindavan.
It was like a few years before.
Yeah, 10:21, verse 5. 10:21:5. Yeah, so these verses are there. And I have something here by, who? I have to find out. Oh, 10th canto, Prabhupada's purport. The imprisonment and release of Vasudeva and killing of various demons are all manifestations of the pastimes of the Lord. Because the devotees would be pleased to see these activities personally, they were all invited to take birth as friends and relatives of these families. Confirmed in the prayers of Kunti, again, Nato Natya Taro Yata, the Lord was to play the part of a demon killer and a friend, son, and brother to his devotees. And thus these devotees were all summoned. So a drama was to take place, and all the demigods were called to be in the drama of Krishna's Leela when Krishna appeared. And he was to play the part of a demon killer, friend, son, and brother. This is Prabhupada's purport, 10.163. So this verse by Queen Kunti, Mudha, explains why we cannot see Krishna. First of all, we're Mudhas, Mudha Drisha. We have the vision of Mudhas, Mudha Drisha. And we are Agya, we're ignorant. And the third reason, Maya Javani Kachana, we're covered by the cloud of Maya. So we cannot see Krishna playing as an actor. Prabhupada gives a nice example. If you go to a play, a drama, in the theater, and he's giving the example that on the stage there is one person, and in the audience the son of that actor is in the audience, but his father is so dressed up he cannot recognize the father. And the mother is next, and she said, "Oh, that's your father right there. Can you see?" Yes, that happened to Mahaprabhu in And when, yes, we'll get to that. He was playing Mohini. He was playing, we'll talk about, actually I'll read that pastime when we get to 12th chapter. When Lord Shiva is bewildered by Mohini Murti, then there's a pastime of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu where he became Mohini Murti. He danced. And he danced for everyone. So in that pastime, his mother Sachimata was watching the play and she was saying, who's dancing? So wonderful, just so beautiful. They said, that's your son, Nimai, he's dancing. And she couldn't recognize him. Yeah, we'll talk about that because it's a very deep pastime. And Lord Shiva gets bewildered, and then actually in the pastime of Lord Chaitanya, then he's a Dvaita Acharya, and we'll see how Dvaita behaves in that pastime. It's quite interesting. There's a kind of a connection there between the two pastimes. So we're talking about the actor. So Krishna is everywhere. Prabhupada said, God is everywhere, but the foolish cannot see him. Alaksham sarabhutanam. He's everywhere. So we must be foolish because we cannot see him everywhere. We have mudha drisha. We have the vision of mudhas, the vision, drisha. So he's disguised. And Prabhupada says how we can see him. In this same lecture, this is actually 1.8, oh, there's two lectures. This one is 1.8.19 on this verse of Queen Kunti. He says, Krishna says, you can see me as the taste of water. But these rascals say, ha, this is humbug. How is Krishna in the taste? I want to see with my eyes. You know, everything is the eyes. Prabhupada said, you don't have the eyes. You're suffering from eye disease, so take medicine and your eyesight will be improved. And take the glasses, just like we had the exercise yesterday about the glasses. You put on the glasses and you improve your eyesight. So, but they want to remain mudha, drisha, and they still want to see Krishna, Prabhupada said. This is the problem. This is the difficulty. If you don't improve your eyes according to direction of Shastra, Sadhu Shastra Guru, then how will you see Krishna? Shastra Chakshusha. Okay. So we'll go on to 7. Didrikshava yasya param sumangalam vimukta sangha munayas sarpava charantyalaka vitam avranam vane bhuta mabhuta suhira samegati. Renunciants and great sages who see all living beings equally, who are friendly to everyone, who flawlessly practice in the forest the vows of brahmacharya, vanaprastha, and sannyas, desire to see the all-auspicious lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. May that same Supreme Personality of Godhead be my destination. So in the purport, Prabhupada says, who is competent to search for Krishna? What to speak of, see Krishna. You have to be competent to search for Krishna. What is the qualification to search for Krishna? There's a qualification. Who is qualified? Loyam. That's a nice qualification. I'll tell you what Prabhupada says. This verse describes the qualifications for devotees or persons highly elevated in spiritual consciousness. Devotees are always equal to everyone, seeing no distinction between lower and higher classes. Pandita Samadarshina. They look upon everyone as a spirit soul who is part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. Thus they are competent to search for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So if you see everyone as part of Krishna, then you'll be looking for Krishna everywhere, in everyone, in every person. So that's the qualification to search. When you have equal vision, then you're qualified. Thus they are competent to search. Understanding that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the friend of everyone, Suhiram Sarabhutanam. They act as friends of everyone on behalf of the Supreme Lord, making no distinction between one nation and another, or one community and another. They preach Krishna consciousness, the teachings of Bhagavad Gita everywhere. Thus they are competent to see the lotus feet of the Lord. Not only are they competent to search, they are competent to see. Such preachers in the Krishna consciousness are called Paramahansas. As indicated by the word Vimukta Sangha, they have nothing to do with material conditions. One must take shelter of such a devotee in order to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Niskinchananam, or Paramahansa. Srila Prabhupada in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, explained how we can become Paramahansas ourselves. What is that process of becoming Paramahansa? Yes. Hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Very good, you have remembered. Second verse of Bhagavatam. Vidyavarutitetra kittibi sushu shubis takshana. Immediately. So Prabhupada, in the purport to that second verse, says one becomes qualified to hear Srimad Bhagavatam after many pious deeds. So just to be in this room, you must have done so many pious deeds just to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. You must have done so many pious deeds. Because not everyone will come and sit here. So many people are there in Vrindavan, but who is coming to hear? Very few. So the intelligent person, Prabhupada says, with thoughtful discretion, can be assured by the great sage Vyasadeva he can realize the Supreme Personality directly by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Without undergoing the different stages of realization set forth in the Vedas, one can be lifted immediately to the position of Paramahansa simply by agreeing to receive this message. Very, very fortunate souls. So the qualities of Paramahansa, Prabhupada explains in 1st Canto, 18th chapter, purport of verse 22. They accept only milk out of a mixture of milk and water. So those who accept the service of the Lord instead of Maya's service are called Paramahansas. Naturally qualified with all good qualities, pridelessness, freedom from vanity, nonviolence, tolerance, simplicity, respectability, worship, devotion, and sincerity. These all exist simultaneously in the devotee of the Lord. Very, very rare. So this is the Paramahansa. This is a qualification to search for Krishna and to see Krishna. So if you don't want to look for Krishna, that means you've got some other interests besides Krishna. So we'll go to verse 8-9. Navidyate yasya cha janma karma va nana marupe guna dosha eva va hatapi lokapyaya sambhavayaya samayaya tanya nukala richti tasmai nama pareshaya brahmane nanta shaktaye Supreme Personality of God has no material birth, activities, name, form, qualities, or faults. To fulfill the purpose for which this material world is created and destroyed, he comes in the form of a human being, like Lord Ram or Lord Krishna, by his original internal potency. He has immense potency and in various forms, all free from material contamination. He acts wonderfully. He is therefore the Supreme Brahman. I offer my respects to him. So about the middle of the purport, Prabhupada says, although he appears to act within the modes of material nature, he is nirguna, above the modes of nature. So what examples does Prabhupada give in the purport about the wonderful potency of the Lord? What are the examples of how powerful is the Lord given in this purport? Yes. Ajamila, okay. So the holy name. One example is the holy name, that it is non-different from the Lord. What's another example of the wonderful potency of the Lord? Yes. Shakshi Gopal. Yes. When the devotee said, Shakshi Gopal, the devotee came and called him for a witness, and he says, how am I going to go? I'm a deity. He said, no, you can do. If you can witness, then you can come, follow me. Yes.
When he comes to this world, he's not made of matter.
Okay, he's not made of matter when he comes here. Another thing Prabhupada says, anyone annihilated by the Supreme Lord gets the same result as a devotee who is protected by the Lord. By the touch of the Lord, then he gets, both of them are transcendentally promoted. So these are some of the things. He's not forced to come here. In Bhagavad Gita, what are some verses? The show of the Lord is transcendental. Ajopisan avya bhutanam isharopisan. Atmamaya. He comes by Atmamaya, by his own potency. Yes. Matta paracharam nanya kinchirasti dhananjaya. Yes. Sutre manigana iva. Another one, Avajananti Mamurha, Manashim Tanumashitam. The fools think I come in a human form, but actually I'm beyond. Jiva Goswami analyzes this verse, or some verse, I think it's this verse, in relationship to this verse. He analyzes, here it says, no material birth, no activities, name, form, qualities are false. Janma karma, nama rupe guna dosha. He doesn't have. So he's, Jiva Goswami says, the first transformation of somebody in this world is janma. That's the first thing that happens to you when you come in this world. So he doesn't have that transformation. And the second transformation is karma. You have your birth, then you have your work. And then the next one is name, nama, or the system of sounds by which various objects in the mind's reach are indicated for the purpose of facilitating everyday activities. Then the next transformation is form, rupa, or the quality perceived by the visual sense. And the last transformation is quality, or guna, or the conditioned soul's different natures born from their contact with the three modes. So all these transformations are present in the conditioned souls, but not in the Supreme Lord. So Jiva Goswami makes that comment on this verse, showing how the Lord is beyond everything. So verse 10, Nama Atma Pradipaya Sakshine Paramatmane Namo Giram Viduraya Manasasche Tasamati. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the self-effulgent Supersoul, who is the witness in everyone's heart, who enlightens the individual soul, and who cannot be reached by exercises of the mind, words, or consciousness. So how can the Lord... Well, we can't reach him by our words, our mind, or consciousness, so how can we... How can he be understood? According to the purport. Okay, anyway, that's all right, never mind. Just tell me how anyway. Bhakti Amam Abhijanati.
I was thinking that Mayalatma Pravachanina Labhyan, that only if he reveals himself.
Yeah, that's what the purport says, yes. Oh, exactly.
Only if he reveals himself, he condescends to reveal himself.
Yes.
Otherwise, we'll stay.
Exactly, that's what the purport says. It is by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the individual soul is enlightened. Therefore, the Lord is described here as Atma Pradipa. The Lord is like the sun, which illuminates everything and cannot be illuminated by anyone. Therefore, if one is serious about understanding the Supreme, one must receive enlightenment from him as instructed in Bhagavad Gita. So, Atma Pradipa. So, you can't command the sun to rise. You cannot command Krishna to come before you. But if the sun comes, then everything is revealed. You can see the land, you can see the trees, you can see yourself. So when Krishna appears, then you see your real relationship with him, you see everything when Krishna appears. So this is being described in this verse. Now I have another quote from 10th Canto, 63, chapter 63, verse 39, which explains Atma Pradipa. The analogy of clouds and the sun is appropriate. With his energy, the sun creates clouds which cover our vision of the sun, yet it is the sun that allows us to see the clouds and all other things as well. Similarly, the Lord expands his illusory energy and prevents us from directly seeing him, but it is God alone who reveals to us his covering potency, the material world, and thus the Lord is Atma Pradipa. It is the reality of his existence that makes all things visible. So if Krishna... If Krishna doesn't see, then we don't see. It's as simple as that. Our sight, our eyes are dependent upon Krishna. Okay, verse 11. Satvena patilab pyaya naishkamyena vipashtita namakadayana taya yuvana sukasamvire. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is realized by pure devotees who act in the transcendental existence of bhakti yoga. He is the bestower of uncontaminated happiness and is the master of the transcendental world. Therefore, I offer my respect unto him. So now it's explaining how we can actually see Krishna. In the verse before, it was saying he's beyond the darkness, he's a super soul. And now in this verse, how we can see him by bhakti yoga. So in the Second paragraph of the purport, Prabhupada says, devotional service is called naishkarmya. Mere negation of material activity will not endure. Naishkarmyam up yatuta bhava varjitam. Unless one performs activities with reference to Krishna consciousness, cessation of material activities will not be helpful. So who is he talking about here? Who is trying to do naishkarmya, which is not devotional service? Who are these people? Narada to Vyas.
Yes, he was trying to...
He wrote Vedanta Sutra.
But he didn't talk about Krishna enough.
He didn't talk about Krishna enough. It was indirect. Yes, Sari Purush?
Krishna Prabhupada refers to Mayavadis.
Mayavadis. Hmm. In hopes, yes. And that's here he'll say that in hopes of achieving naishkarmya, freedom from material action, many highly elevated sannyasis stopped their activities. Yet they failed and returned to the material platform to act as materialistic persons. But once one is engaged in spiritual activities, a bhakti yoga one does not fall down. But so many devotees fall down. How is it? Okay, you're saying there's a quality to the bhakti yoga. You have to be on a certain level. Adi Purush? Gajendra is the example of you don't fall down. Even you become an animal, you don't forget.
You don't fall down forever.
Forever, okay? You may fall down for some time, but you don't fall down forever. And these Mayavadis, they fall down forever. They don't make it to the lotus feet of Krishna, they don't make it to the spiritual world. And that's the difference. High Krishna consciousness movement is therefore an attempt to engage everyone always in spiritual activity, by which one becomes transcendental to material actions. Spiritual activities of bhakti, marg, shavanam, kirtanam, vishnu, smaranam, parasevanam, lead one to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, as stated here, Satvena pati labhyaya naishkamyena vipashtita. Supreme Personality of God is realized by pure devotees who act in the transcendental existence of bhakti yoga. Yes. That verse in Gita says also, mamcha yovya vicharena bhakti yogena sevate saguran samatityaitan brahma bhaya kalpite. Prabhupada says who does not fall down. He is on the level of Brahman. So, Gajendra is giving some prayers, and these prayers are so powerful that the Lord will be attracted to him. So is it actually these prayers that will attract the Lord, or is it something else that is going to attract the Lord to save Gajendra? What is it? What is it that is going to make him come?
I think that not these prayers.
Not the prayers? Everybody's saying the same old prayers every day. Lord Brahma, yeah, we hear them. Same ones, Sai Move Manu. We just heard them. Upanishads. Okay, it was his attitude of surrender. Good. His attitude of surrender. He's turning to the Lord, not to anyone else. Yes, he made the right decision. Anybody else have any other comments? Dhamma Krishna. Yes, only shelter, nothing else. Only shelter. Isn't that one of the 26 qualities, the most important one? Always that he's dependent on the Supreme Lord. Okay, anything else? Many other reasons. Why is Krishna going to be so attracted to come and save? We should know, because we may also be, we are in that position actually, that we need Krishna to come and save us. Even though we don't see the crocodile, but it's there. Yes. He has faith, okay? He had very strong faith. So, according to your faith, you may see Krishna. Yes, all these prayers are... The theme is that the Lord Krishna is everywhere. He's all-pervasive, even though I may not be able to see you. Yes, so that's... And that goes for us. Krishna is everywhere, but how do we see him? When do we see him? Unless we go to the temple, we can see him, yes. Ashabanda. Hope against hope. Yes, he has no other help or hope. Hope against hope, Ashabanta, yes. Okay, so Pankajangri Prabhu was giving a lecture in Croatia. Who wants to see Krishna? Everyone raised their hand. Then he started blessing them. He said, you have no faith. Krishna's here and you don't see him. Pankajangri sees him, for sure. He says, where is your faith? Why don't you see Krishna? That's like Prabhupada. He is in the taste of water. Why don't you see this wonderful taste? It's Krishna. Why don't you see Krishna? You can't see the sun? It's his eye. He says in Gita, why? Yes. That's nice. Okay, any other examples? Okay, so we'll stop here. Any questions or comments? And if you don't, then I'll have some questions that were asked to Burijan on these lectures. Yes?
I would ask you, first class, you said Vijendra, actually, he was not fully aware to how he refers with his prayers.
Yes.
But actually, he knows, because in every prayer, he said, your Supreme Personality of Godhead, let me offer my obeisances to you, I'm offering obeisances to you.
Hmm.
And he just lists all qualifications.
Oh, he says Paramatmane. Yeah,
so
Paramatma.
Well,
he doesn't know the name, that's the only thing. He doesn't know the name of who is God.
This is a too common Supreme Personality of God.
Yeah, right. That's just
Krishna.
No, he's just saying the
so God.
Yeah, God. Like God. Yeah. Right. God help
me.
Right, like he's not saying oh Nanda Tanuja like Lord Chaitanya. Something. No, just Paramatma like this. Witness Sakshi. Sakshi, Paramatma. These are different words. You can look here. Geram.
Secondary names.
Different.
They're
all secondary names of God. Like within this material world. Yes.
Jiva Goswami actually uses this passage to prove that whenever the Lord is said to be formless or nameless, it refers only to material forms of name. Because here,
yes. Okay, so Jiva Goswami says that this particular passage proves that the Lord is not formless or nameless because
whenever he is referred to as formless or nameless. It refers only to material forms.
Refers to material forms and names. Yes, because he says Namarupa. That's verse 8-9, right? He says
and still. Response to these prayers, came a Lord with name and form.
And still in response to these prayers came a Lord with name and form. Hari, Lord Hari. Yes. You have no name and no form, but then the Lord came with a name and a form, so therefore it's not that that the Lord is formless and nameless. Yes, he even had parents, Hari Meda and Harini, and Hari came. We learned yesterday. Okay, yes, Dhamma Krishna. Yeah, same king in Dudumna. There's only one in Dudumna Maharaj. Same one. The same one. He was a great sage, Rajarshi. He was in meditation. He left for the forest. You'll hear how he got cursed. I think Burija Prabhu will teach that section. Yes. There's only one in Dudumna Maharaj. So. Indradumna Maharaj, great grandson of Brahma. Who is his father, Indradumna Maharaj? Is he a son? Who is he? I forget, actually. Yeah, I thought he was Vaivasvata Manu's son. I thought he was just recent. There's an Indradumna. I can't remember. Can you look it up? Let's see. Who is his father? I don't remember, actually, right now. I don't remember him being at the dawn of creation. To me, it seems he's recent. But I'm not sure. Ajama. Oh, yes. Jagannath.
On the life of Indradumna
Maharaj. So have we found out who is his father? Not yet.
King of Pandya.
That's, we know. Maybe ninth canto. Try 9th Ganto. Oh, king of Pandya, that's not very big. If he was the son of Manu or if he was the dawn of creation. I don't know, we're trying to find... Not Brahma. He's not the son of Brahma.
In that drama of Tamadishamaraj, you mentioned that. That's quite...
Sure.
I'm repeating.
Okay. That's quite possible. Okay, well, any more questions or comments while we're looking up this particular point? Otherwise, I have some questions. I have from Burijan's class on this. Some devotees asked him questions. So I thought they were very interesting questions, so... I will ask you these questions. The first question was, because they see how... Oh, you got it?
Yeah. So, here's the genealogy. Vishnu, Rama, Swayam, Vamana, Priyavrata, Agnidra, Nabi, Rishabha, Bharata, Sumati, Indrajuna.
Okay. He's a...
Son of Sumati.
Sumati. After Rishabdev. Okay. So, he's in the dynasty... He's in Swayambhuva Manu's dynasty. Okay. Rishabdev. Is there any other Indradumna Maharaj, or is that the only one?
It's kind of close.
It's kind of close. Great, 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 great. Yeah. Well, if he's in the first Manu, then that's close.
There was some
Indradumna. Oh, interesting. So there are many Indradumnas. It could be anyone.
King Janaka.
Janaka's father was Indradumna. Ikshvaku. Yeah, that's the one I was remembering too. Ikshvaku means this Manu, Vaivasvata Manu, and there's an Indradumna there. It's this last one from Vaivasvata Manu. From Satya Yuga. No, it's not the same. So there's the Indradumna Raj from Jagannath is from Ikshvaku, from this Vaivasvata Manu's dynasty, our present dynasty. Okay. So there are many Indradumnas. It's a popular name for a king. Popular name. And which one is this one? That's the question now. King of Pandya. Doesn't sound like the one big one. Yeah, yes.
And also this verse, 833.
833.
In whom, by whom, from whom.
In whom, yeah, that's an interesting verse.
Bhaktivinoda Thakur quotes it in Bhagavad Gita Vishimala as referring to
Chintya Beda Beda Tattva. Okay, good. Verse 3, Chintya Beda Beda Tattva. By whom? For whom? Yes, we were talking about that, how he's different, how he's the same. He's different because he has a different personality. Okay, so here's a question for you. Will a devotee be a devotee in the next lifetime? That was the question. So the answer is? If you're a devotee now, will you be a devotee in your next life? Not necessarily?
Yes.
And he says yes, you say not necessarily. And okay, in Bhagavad Gita it says you will become a devotee. You will take up from where you left off. So have faith. you will become. That's what we just said. Yoga Brashta Vijayate.
Yes.
Yes. Okay, you will be. And well, Brijan doesn't say yes. He says, well, we have Bharat Maharaj and Gajendra. We haven't heard yet why Gajendra became an elephant. So he said, one principle is a devotee will take a human body. Another principle is a devotee is protected by Krishna. Another principle is that we take a body according to what we think of at the time of death. So these three principles must be put together somehow. That was Brijan's answer. Three principles. Yeah, he got animal body. Isn't that something? He was a devotee. He got animal body. And Bharat Maharaj. Three principles. A devotee will take a human body. Of course, it didn't happen here. Second principle, a devotee is protected by Krishna. And third principle is that we take a body according to what we think of at the time of death. So these three have to be put together. Yeah, anything. Yes. No, actually, there's three things, as Burijan said. It's not, especially for a devotee, there's special mercy. You may not even think of Krishna at the time of death, and Krishna will still take you, because whole life you've been thinking of Krishna, serving Him. You're protected by Krishna. That principle comes.
Even if you think of something, Krishna...
Yeah, He will take you. Ishopanishad mantra says that. Please remember all that I've done for you. Because maybe I won't remember you at the time of death. Yes. Adipurush?
Yeah, Krishna Chaitanya Thakur gives a very detailed description in this
6.2.9. Ajamila.
Yeah. So the whole name is given there as the best, you know, prayashchita, atonement. And so he gives the, you know, thorough breakdown for those who don't have faith in bhakti.
Wow.
They avoid hell just by, even though they are offenders.
Mm-hmm.
Because bhakti says, okay, even though they take me as a secondary, still, if I don't show mercy, they will just go to hell. So she bhakti, even though they are offenders, bhakti saved.
So even if they're, though the Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says that the name, is that for the name? For the holy name. Even if they're offenders, then they don't go to hell because bhakti shows mercy.
If they
take it as prayaschita, atonement. Even if they, you take, chant the holy name offensively, in fact. Even if you take the holy name, you do some sin, and you chant, so they will avoid hell.
Then there are devotees who are true devotees.
Then there are real devotees.
Krishna, who accept bhakti as the only or primary.
Who accept bhakti as the only or primary process.
So they may take many births, but whatever good or bad happens is Krishna's mercy to gradually bring them up to
So the devotee may take many births, but whatever happens, good or bad, is Krishna's mercy to bring them up to the level of inoffensive chanting.
And then he gives the, says that there are even those who chant in. He says there are 14 levels.
14 levels of chanting? Who is this? Vishnu Chakravarti? Oh, you have to give me that. Send that to me. 14 levels of chanting.
That's in the comment that Bhujandra was giving.
That long thing.
14 levels according to Srimadam Sakata Krishna and Bhaktivati Naishtiki and Tadara Jastamu Bhava Kamalabhadayastonasti. He gives 14 levels there. And then he says for those who chant inoffensively, then there are only two levels.
Those who chant inoffensively. Is this Nama Bhas or pure? Pure, okay.
So he says it's two levels.
Two levels for pure chanting.
It's chanting and going to Krishna.
Chanting and going to Krishna. Two levels of chanting.
Only one.
Okay.
He says, still, in some cases, if the person is inoffensive but does not make endeavor for achieving prema, like Bharat Maharaj, he may take one, two, or three more births.
Okay, did you all hear that? You may chant inoffensively, but if you're not endeavoring for prema, then you may take one, two, or three births like Bharat Maharaj. Yes, actually, in the memories of Prabhupada, one, Prabhupada says different things. One devotee asked, you know, how many births will your disciples take? Prabhupada said, at the most three, no more than three. If you become gopi in one of the births, it's good. 100. Yes. 100 births. That's more like it. Okay. Yeah, Dhamma Krishna.
In case of Guru
Aparad, that is very heavy.
Because you said, yes. It's not certain of the destination.
Yes, if you do Guru Aparad, it may take time. Just like one of my godbrothers, Prabhupada told him, it will take you one kalpa before you find a guru. Because he asked Prabhupada's permission to go to another guru. He asked his blessings. He says, okay, after one kalpa of Brahma, one day of Brahma, millions and billions of births. Yeah, it may take more time. But then, of course, after one day of Brahma, he'll get one day of Brahma. Yes. Three aparads make you avaishnava or non-devotee. You think the glories of the holy name are exaggeration?
Or you give some interpretation.
You give some interpretation. Or you put them on the level as ordinary dharma. which two heavy offenses, offending devotees, committing sins on the strength of chanting the holy name. All the other offenses can be mitigated by constant chanting. One has to suffer the effects and chant in order to mitigate. So you get the reaction and you also have to chant. Now that's heavy. Okay. I have one more question. We are not in the same league as Bharat and Gajendra, so what about us? That was the next question to Burija. We are not like Gajendra and Bharat Maharaj, that we are such great devotees. So what about us? That was the question to Burijan. Mahaprabhu. Yeah, Burijan said, Krishna is not partial. He cares about us also. So we should be confident that his devotee never perishes. Okay. Any other questions or comments? No? I'll glide to Shiro. So I'll see you next week, and we'll start a whole new lila next week, churning the ocean of milk.